turning now to Rick Evans. Rick Evans is one of the Evans brothers of the famous Evans Brothers Coffee, a roastery and cafe located in the Sandpoint Granary District. And also, you have other locations as well, right?
Coeur d'Alene is our other location. Okay. Yeah.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is another place that you can get Evans Brothers Coffee. And you are one of the original, like, when you hear the name Evans Brothers, you have such a great name, Rick, I have to say. And hearing Evans Brothers Coffee and seeing the logo, it seems like this could have been, you know, Charles and Mortimer Evans from 1908 founded Evans Brothers Coffee, and it's been in the family for generations. But it's you. You and your brother Randy actually founded it.
Yeah, you bet. Mm-hmm. I love hearing that because when we first started, we wanted a brand that felt timeless.
Yeah.
And so that's super cool to hear that reflection. But yeah, my brother and I, Randy, we also have a sister. She's in Tampa, Florida. And but yeah, we started back in 2009.
Okay.
Yep.
So just now, you'd only been around for a couple of years by the time KRFY came knocking on your door.
Right. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And have been with us ever since, regular supporters of the radio station, financially, and we thank you for your generosity on that front.
You bet. Yeah, I remember back, Scott Daly was one of the original people really involved, and he was a good friend of my brother's, and
And then you also are, you know, kind of moral supporters as well, oftentimes bringing coffee to our events and supporting hosting our events as well. We've had a number of KRFY related things happen at the Evans Brothers Cafe.
We had an annual meeting there not too long ago.
I think
it was wonderful.
Probably our most recent
our
annual
one.
Meeting, right? Yeah,
yeah, we love it anytime.
Yeah,
it was great.
Let's talk about the if I may ask, why are you here alone? Where's the other brother?
Yeah, Randy gets to do the coffee sourcing, so it's a pretty, I'm a little envious sometimes, but he was the guy that had the coffee experience, and so that became his job right away. He's the one in charge of sourcing our coffee, so a big part of that is, for us, has always been going out to Origin and really, you know, tasting coffees there, meeting the producers, touring the farms. And so Randy right now, he's there with Daniel Gunter. Daniel, most a lot of people around here probably know, he's our head of quality, head trainer, you know, head roaster. I mean, he kind of does a little bit of everything. He's the other brother, really. And they're in Guatemala for something called Best of Kodesh competition. So he's there along with one of our main importers, Atlas. And he's part of a group of 10 coffee buyers that are judging. There's about 500 farms, farmers that submit their samples. And it's a series of, it's a whole round of cupping. I'll just share what he said. He said, there's 10 of us. Everyone gives their scores after each round. Today, we narrowed down to the top 19 highest average scores. And this was from 780 cups of coffee they had to sample.
Oh my goodness.
So that's the part. Wait. I texted back. I'm like, can I just come out for the farm visits? I don't know if I can handle the seven. I'm not, I don't have the palate that he and Daniel have. And especially when they're all farms from Guatemala, way Tananga region. So they're different, but they're not different like Sumatra and Ethiopia, or you know what I mean?
The gradations are fine.
So it's
maybe
really picking up the nuances. And it's super important, like he says, they're, today we narrowed down to the top 19 highest scores. Tomorrow we narrow those down to the top 10. And this is starting with, you know, 700 something. They re-roast the samples one more time. Then we will recup the top 10 to determine what place the winning samples come in. It's intense because you have to stay very focused. It matters to the producers financially. Price premiums go to the top lots. So he's there along with somebody from Ecuador or Equator Coffee, big coffee company down in Florida. Counterculture, you may have heard of. They're pretty big time. They've been around. So it's, you know, some really, you know, it's an important thing for everybody. So, yeah.
Because then the ones that rank the highest will have the best chance of being imported here.
Yeah, you know, if at a certain level, most of these guys are going to get their coffee sold if they're even in this competition, but they're going to get paid more, the ones that are scoring at a higher level. And we bought coffee. Randy's gone out to this, I don't know, a handful of times. probably the first time we did it, maybe 10 years ago, he bought the, I think it was the sixth or eighth place lot at the time from somebody named Maria Escobar. And she's she has a small farm way up in the mountains of Huehuetenango. And we've been getting her coffee every single year since then. She gets, I think this year, in fact, I'm drinking the last bit of it right now. We roasted the last bit of this crop, and which I thought was kind of, it occurred to me when I came in here that I'm actually drinking that coffee. But yeah, we've gotten her coffee every year, and it's just an awesome relationship, and we've won awards with that coffee. It's fantastic. And so she's always in that top 20. Sometimes she was second place last year.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm interested in knowing how Randy got invited. How is it? He's just so well known among coffee folk that he gets to be one of those.
Yeah.
Testers.
Well, he's been with Atlas Coffee. We've been buying. We get offers to buy coffee from all different importers all the time, but we've been really kind of stuck to our primary relationships with the Atlas out of Seattle and Cafe Imports out of Minneapolis, and we've done a lot of traveling with them. And so since, you know, Randy's been working with them, buying coffee regularly for, 17 years now. And, it's all about relationships, you know, and that starts at that level. And so, I think that we've got a good reputation, you know, that we know what we're doing with coffee and everything. So he's invited to come along to that trip every year. And it's good that he's there, not me, frankly, because he's going to do a lot better job of fairly sampling those coffee, of judging those coffees.
Well, speaking of reputation, I think you've been winning some awards lately. Do you want to tell us?
Yeah. The last year was the USA Today Reader's Choice Best Independent Coffee House in America. And so we ended up taking, they award the top 10, and it's all over the country. There's independent judges that come out and sample it. Sam, you know, they come out and they nominate you, and then it goes to like a vote of just your guests, your customers voting, and then there's a whole thing we have to fill out and information long story short, we took third place in that, which was really cool.
Amazing. Jack, you're in Sandpoint. We got the third best dang coffee guys in the country.
And then the other one that we get the most excited about is the Good Food Awards, which not everybody knows what that is, but if you're a foodie and you're really in that world, it's a really big deal. It rewards sustainable production that's transparent, where you have to be able to give the information on your product and, you know, all the way down to the farm level, and very specific. It's got to be sustainable and all this. And also it's blind, you know, the tasting is done blindly. So they don't know who's they're tasting. And then there's samples from all over the country. So we're in the coffee category. There's chocolate, there's charcuterie, there's cheese, there's beer. And we've won that four times. We've gotten a gold medal in that for our one of the coffees we've submitted. And there's no other Idaho company that's won more than twice of any category. So we're pretty proud about that one. That's been a pretty cool thing.
Well, congratulations and lucky us, Jack. Yeah. Man, it's around the corner from our lives.
We are lucky to have to have them in our lives and in our town, and pretty much right on the way from my house to KRFY, as a matter of fact.
And for me too.
Yeah. You are listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY, and we're talking to Rick Evans, one of the Evans brothers of Evans Brothers Coffee. And we are also, believe it or not, in the middle of our membership drive. And since we have folks here at the station right now, we will take your phone calls, 208-265-2992, if you'd like to give us a ring and become a member of this radio station. It's individual members. Of course, we couldn't do it without our underwriters, but like Evans Brothers Coffee, but more than half of the operating budget of this radio station comes from listeners like you.
A little bit from everyone.
Yep.
Goes a long way.
Keeps us independent. Keeps us from, you know, I mean, keeps us located here in Sandpoint when we have a broad base of support in the community. It goes a long way. Yeah. And prevents any kind of advertisers from becoming, you know, controlling interests in the station.
Has it been 20 years yet?
It's been 15 exactly.
Okay.
This is our 15th year.
Oh, this is 15. Okay.
Yep. We're celebrating 15 years this year for the only listener-supported community radio station in Bonner or Boundary County. How about that?
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. You can also go to KRFY.org/donate if you are more of an online type person than and you don't want to talk to Julie on the phone. Mm-hmm. I understand. She can be intimidating.
Well, that's one word people will use, but yes. Or if you're just driving around downtown, come on up. I'll take care of you.
We actually have.
I'll help you.
We have some donuts here if anybody wants to come up to the studio, 323 North First Avenue. Pull over, have a donut, and say hello.
That's right.
Evans Brothers Coffee is you currently Randy and Daniel are in Guatemala.
Yeah.
Where else does the coffee business take you? Take the brothers or
yeah? I mean, I've been on I get on a trip every two or three years just because it's fun and I love to make that connection. But so I've been to El Salvador, Costa Rica, Colombia, a couple times to Costa Rica and El Salvador. My brother's been to Sumatra. The last year he went to Sumatra, which was a super fascinating trip. I mean, it was way out in the middle of nowhere. And he, put up with the families taking care of him and staying in their home. This is really amazing experience. And he's been to Ethiopia. That's the birthplace of coffee.
Wow.
That's quite the travel experience. That sounds like. And he's been to, Brazil a couple times, of course. I'm missing a few, but, we get a lot of coffees from Guatemala, Brazil, Costa. Always we have Ethiopian coffees. We try to travel to, pretty much everywhere that we get coffee at some point in time. Kenya is a place we haven't been yet.
Okay.
Jack, how do we get that job?
Yeah, I know.
Even Rick doesn't have that job.
It's one of those things that sounds super sexy, and it is in some ways, but it's also like it can be grueling. Like in Ethiopia, they might be like on a 10-hour bus ride with no food to get out, And I mean, but it's fascinating travel, but it's not always like the easiest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. I had to look up Sumatra because I wasn't positive.
Indonesia.
Did you know that it's an island? I didn't know that. I thought it was like a region or something.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. It is an island in Indonesia, and it's about the opposite side of the planet Earth from where we are right now.
Right.
I mean, pretty close as far as finding a landmass. So when you're in Indonesia or in Ethiopia and what do you do in a place like that? You get there, you take the 10-hour bus drive, you're out to a farm, and what?
Well, we're meeting with the producers. A lot of times it's our importer or maybe there's an exporter and an importer, exporter on their side. Mm-hmm. But they're making the introduction, so we're meeting directly with the growers, the farmers. We're getting tours of their farms, which is always fascinating. They're usually just really mountainous, steep terrain. Jungle kind of like terrain. It's never like an open bare field, like you would have with say commodity coffee, where it's just straight. So it's handpicked. We're seeing, and they're taking us through the whole process and showing us what they do every step of the way. And to some degree, like they're wanting to sell us because they want us to keep buying their coffee. They're linked to their livelihood, and we're paying good prices for the coffee, and it's so. We're kind of wine to dine a little bit, we'll be invited in, get to have a meal with the family and things like that. And it's really special. Mm-hmm. My brother was just out in Costa Rica, he's a few months ago, and he took his daughter on a trip, who's Lily has been a barista with us since she was, 14 or 15, and she's graduating from high school now and heading off to college. And so Randy took her on a trip, Costa Rica. They happened to go to a farm of the Francisco and Oscar Chacon, Las Lajas, which is just really high-end, amazing coffee we've been buying. And so I got a picture of Randy with his daughter and the Chacons with their daughter about the same age, and they all had a meal together. And so visiting the farms, connecting with the producers, it's also a lot of cupping of coffees like they're doing. They're slurping, they're like five samples of each coffee in case there's a defect, and they're slurping and spitting and just for hundreds of coffees and helping to eat. We're either choosing what we're going to be buying, or we might be part of an auction that's rating coffees. You know, I did something like that when I went to Columbia, and then it was sold at this live auction in the middle of the town of Wheelah, for, you know, with music and dancing and all kinds of hype and everything. We're holding up the flat, you know, bidding, outbidding each other. And so there's a lot of fun in it. There's all different kinds of trips, but that's essentially it's sourcing, looking for coffees, meeting the producers.
The cupping, I can taste a cup of coffee and say, this is good.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah.
Or this is not. Yeah. I don't know. I get like the idea of tasting more than like three and being able to really like say, oh, this one was, you know, I mean, to find the characteristics in them is, that's a little beyond me.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the skill, obviously. It's something you've developed. You say, and you're
to some degree. I'll let you know. Don't tell anybody here. But, yeah. Oh yeah, we're on the radio.
Aren't we? Yeah.
But, no, yeah, I am not. I get intimidated by that. I'll be in a room. If I was on that trip, and I've been there, I feel out of my league with people to do, because you know a lot of guys. It's not my role as much as it. Mm-hmm. I'll taste coffees and I'll cup them, but I'm not the one that's really like, okay, we need to do this with this blend, and that's. I kind of leave that with Daniel and Randy and others that have a better palate. My sense of smell isn't amazing, and that limits me. And so I just long time ago realized like, hey, I'm the, you know, I run the business.
Yeah.
I'm the marketing and the CEO guy. And I love coffee, but it's hard for me to say I'm picking up, you know, a mango papaya out of this or whatever, Daniel can and Randy can just nail like the distinction. So I think most people are more in that like, okay, I can tell this is a great cup of coffee.
Yeah,
but sometimes hard to articulate why, you know what I mean? Honestly, I'm in that camp myself still after 17 years. So
you know what you like, but you can't really describe it entirely.
For sure. And I can tell if one of our coffees, oh, this was roasted a little longer than, and I'll give my feedback. Hey, this doesn't taste quite right. But I have a hard time. And I think it's something you have to really practice. And, you know, honestly, I don't always put the time into it as much as, just because there's so many other things to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Everyone's got their role.
Yeah, I've got my role for sure.
Coming up on 8:30, and I think we'll play a little song. I can give you four different songs about coffee. Let me throw out Gordon Lightfoot, Frank Sinatra, Chapel Roan, Bob Dylan. Any particular favorites? Do you have any favorite coffee
songs?
I like
those, but I'd go with Dylan. Let's do Dylan.
I think you're probably right. We're going to play a coffee song. This would be a great time for you, the listener, to call in. We will answer your telephone call, and that way we can do it while we're all enjoying a little Bob Dylan playing something off of Desire from 1975. This is One More Cup of Coffee. Back with Rick Evans here on The Morning Show. After this, you are listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. That, of course, was Bob Dylan with One More Cup of Coffee. One of the great coffee songs. I found out that if you look in our library and just use the term coffee, there's quite a lot comes up. It's a popular subject for songs and songwriters. We did get a generous donation that came in person during our little musical break there. Thanks to Penny from Laclede, who a longtime listener, especially of the Wednesday morning show, or of the Easy on a Wednesday Morning, Bernie's show. She called in or came in, brought in, had sent in her $88.50 donation, which goes a long way.
That's a nice amount, isn't it?
It's a nice, convenient amount.
Yes, it is.
Yes, easy to remember because, of course, our frequency is 88.5 on the FM dial. You're listening to The Morning Show here on KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Julie Kalmine. And we're here with Rick Evans of Evans Brothers Coffee.
I am learning so much, you guys, that I had no idea I would ever need to learn, but I now feel like it's really important. I know more about coffee than I've ever known.
I think you're right.
It's pretty cool.
Likewise. Okay, you go and get the coffee. You go around the world. You get coffee, and you bring it here to Sandpoint, Idaho. And what happens then?
Good question. So coffee is sent to us. And I should point out that I would say 80% to 90% of the important stuff happens before we even get it. So it's there's so much involved at the the farm level and the way it's grown and how the rainfall comes in and things like that, how the crops affected, the elevation and the soil and everything else, picking it at just the right time when the cherries are ripe. And then the processing, and there's a whole process of washing the coffee and removing the outer, because it's cherries.
Cherries.
Yeah,
that's cherries. Actual
cherries with the seed in the middle, which is the coffee bean.
That's the bean.
Yep.
So it's surrounded by fruit.
Surrounded by fruit, which is called there's a pulp, and then there's a mucilage layer. There's a few different layers, and so that sticky kind of outer layer is sometimes it's dried in the sun, like in Africa, the whole cherry is put on a raised bed and it's dried and sort of gets that mucilage, that sticky sweetness gets into the bean. And the other method, which is more common, it is a washed method. And there's different processes of that, but it's washed and it's gotten, and then it's dried in either mechanical dryer or laid out on a raised bed to dry.
Is the fruit useful in any other way? Is it just the whole?
There's something called a lot of places. There's something called cascara, and it can be made into a tea. Cascara coffee cherry tea. Huh. It's something. Now that I mention it, you might see it at shops, and we offer it. I don't know if we have it on a menu at the moment, but or that can be put into fertilizer. So most of the farms we work with are regenerative as much as possible. So they put those wastes back into the farm for fertilizer. We get all that happens, and it's depending on the part of the world, it's all these differences. Mm-hmm. And then they're packed into jute bags that are then stored and then shipped, on container ships across the country, across the world, and land in our importers' warehouses. And then we are ordering, and they're the ones that are financing all these coffee, because you get a whole container is, I think it's 250 bags of coffee, 150 pound bags generally. So anyway, we'll say, hey, we're gonna lock in 50 of these, and we're gonna lock in 30 from this farm, and so we'll get pallets of coffee in every week, and we get two or three pallets of coffee. Each pallet has like 10 of these big bags.
And can those beans, do they stay fresh for a long time as beans, not yet ground? That's how they're.
Yeah, the jute bags keep them. And they're dried down to a certain moisture content. And so they'll stay fresh. Green coffee stays fresh for probably, 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
It's green
in color, and it's really, it kind of smells almost sort of grassy. It looks so different. It's very, very hard. You couldn't, you'd break your teeth trying to bite it. So it's different. Whereas with a coffee bean, you could pop in your mouth and chew it up.
Because the roasting process changes it.
Yeah.
So I have to know, having spent so many months with Julie Perchinsky on Garden Life, is it not, but a coffee plant isn't in the cherry family, I would not think, but you call it a cherry. Or is it a cherry?
It is considered a fruit. Yeah, yeah. It's actually considered a fruit. And you can bite it right off the tree and you taste
a little
like
cherry.
A cherry. Yeah.
So
just
maybe it is in the cherry family.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wild?
Yeah.
It is.
I think that surprises people, and so there's an inherent sweetness in coffee.
Surprises me,
And so there's depending on what's in the soil, there's flavors that are picked up from maybe there's mangoes growing around or something like that, and so they can start to pick up some of the flavors from the
from the soil. Yeah, so it's terroir, so to say.
Terroir, exactly,
and,
just like wine, very similar.
And this makes me think, Jack, that Julie and I will have to invite the Evans brothers for a Garden Life show.
Talk
about your gardening.
Cool.
And it also makes me want to watch Out of Africa again. Have you seen that movie, and is that at all authentic in the scenes?
It's been so long, I'll have to check it out again. I think I was a kid when or something.
Yeah, it's an old one. It's an old movie.
Robert Redford and Meryl Streep in that one?
Yeah, good movie, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now I'm wondering if that's an authentic, reproduction of how coffee growing would look.
I'll have to check that out again.
Yeah.
I don't know. And so we get the coffee to finish up, you know, we get the coffee. We develop a roast profile for each coffee, depending on what we think it's going to, what we want it to do. Mm-hmm. So for like East African coffee, they're usually, we're going to usually be roasting those light. Those are going to be coffees that stand on their own that are more exciting, fruit forward, mm-hmm. floral. Maybe a coffee from Brazil is our base of our espresso blend, for example. And so it's got more of the chocolatey, heavy body, but it doesn't like, it's not as like, exciting, in other words. And so, and then like a Sumatra, we might roast that a little bit darker. We're trying to get more of that earthiness and like, the, you know, also the heavy body out of it. And so we're roasting it based on if it's going in a blend. Is it going to be on its own? Is it espresso? Is it for drip? And so there's a whole, we have an idea of where we're going to go with it. Mm-hmm. And then everything's really recorded with the, you know, with the technology we have. And we create a roast profile or a recipe for each individual coffee. And then we're cupping those coffees. Daniel's cupping every week, every single lot of coffee, every batch of coffee that we roast. And we're saying, oh, okay, is this what we want? How's this compared to this one? And then we might tweak it for the next roast. And so a lot of times it'll take us a few weeks to really feel like we dial in a particular coffee, just how we want it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a question now. My brother, Jack, and I are both from Minnesota, and I have a brother still living in Minnesota. And he, you know, he's one of those guys. Chaz, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'm talking about you and not in the best light, maybe, but he loves to dine out, and he, you know, he loves a good glass of wine. And he also, I think, believes himself to be a coffee expert, and he really poo-poos anyone who drinks a French roast, something that's been really roasted. He's like, oh, no one can taste the flavor of that coffee when it's roasted to such a degree. So here I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, Rick, and asking, is that true or is that just my snobby brother?
Well, I like light roasts. All right.
Yeah, personally, he does
it's my
too.
Favorite because I feel like you get more of the actual natural, like inherent qualities and the sweetness. And I look for that. But there's nothing, you know, any way you drink your coffee is okay. And that's something that we've always wanted to make clear. Like, we're not judging anybody.
No,
there's nothing wrong with people develop a palate. And people really like that really smoky, kind of rich, heavy.
Right.
And so we offer, you know, we've got our Big Timber blend and our Black Diamond is a French roast. And we've wanted to meet people where they're at from the beginning. But also, hey, maybe try this without cream sometime. And we're always making that offer to explore different tastes and
right,
things like that.
Maybe not with the Coffee Mate hazelnut
flavor. Yeah, leave it out. Just at least take a sip without it, you know?
Before you.
But no, like, it's fine. You know, I think coffee is one of those things that's very individual, and there's no right or wrong way to drink it, from our opinion.
So, I like that we're having this conversation because I think there's a lot around coffee in that area, the culture of coffee and what's the right coffee to be drinking and all this. It's gotten that way.
And it's gotten, you know, the whole third wave of coffee got kind of snobby and pretentious in a lot of places. And you'll go into these shops and everything's perfectly white and polished and everything else. And the baristas are kind of like, you know, they have super limited menu. And we knew at some point we don't have the, you know, we're not going to we have to offer a little bit that everybody's going to like. And so, you know, we have our seasonal drinks and things like that.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, we try to be, for the most part.
Yes.
For the most part. And to a degree. I mean, we don't have our, you know, we don't do blended drinks. And there's things, you know, we're not selling Red Bulls and things like that either. But
no.
Yeah. To us, it's craft. And so if it fits in with what we feel is like a high quality craft, specialty coffee.
And so, I have to throw in that the atmosphere of Evans Brothers is very conducive to sitting and drinking coffee. That is not a space where you feel like you need to grab your cup to go and get out of there.
Mm.
It encourages a person to want to hang around and enjoy that cup of coffee.
That's what we wanted to do is create special experiences around a cup of coffee and wanted a place that people felt they could come and hang out and really feel comfortable and welcome. I think one of the joys of this business for me is hearing people say, oh, I met my wife at your shop, or I found my place to live, or I started my business there, and or, hey, I go in and people just, they know what I drink and I feel so special. And it's kind of like this, the cheers vibe, you know, and I love that. I love walking down in the space and seeing all these people in the community I know. And we've got all kinds of quirky regulars, you know, with all kinds of character. And that's what it ought to be, I think.
And some fun art from time to time, and just a lot of nice stuff going on there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We thank you.
Let's see. We're talking, you're also community community involved. One of the things you do, of course, is support this radio station, 88.5 KRFY. We are right now in the midst of our membership drive, and you are one of the, well, I don't know the exact number, but it's in the neighborhood of 40 local businesses and groups who are underwriting supporters of the radio station, meaning you get you'll hear your name on the air once a day. And you're also just generally involved in the community. It goes into what you were just talking about, a kind of the having a comfortable space to be and being involved with the in people's lives. I don't know what goes on at Evans Brothers. I don't know, these days any particular, I don't know, events or anything coming up that you want to highlight for us. On the upcoming events calendar.
What do we have coming up on the events? I should have checked into that.
No, I put you on the spot.
We'll definitely have things.
It seems like every Wednesday evening or something like that, you'll have somebody taking over the shop after hours.
We make our space available. There's a lot of nonprofit groups that'll hold events there. You guys held your annual meeting there, I think, last year. So we do host a lot of those type of things. I mean, there's like a chess club that comes in. There's all kinds of stuff happening. I'm trying to think if we have any major events that are coming up. I think we're going to start doing some coffee classes. We're doing that down in Coeur d'Alene right now, sort of like, home brewing classes and things like that. So that's something we're be on the lookout for. But we always have a nonprofit blend that we create every 6 weeks. We'll do a new one, and a portion of the proceeds are going to be donated. So we collaborate with regional nonprofits on a coffee blend, and that's something that we're always doing ongoing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Not to take us back into the coffee business a little bit, or the process and the business. How have things changed in the last couple years, I suppose, in terms of the acquiring coffee, getting it from from faraway places around the world? Has it gotten more difficult in recent years?
It has. It's been a tricky couple of years for sure. Mm-hmm. I think COVID, of course, was a big one that just that changed everything in the world, and that was a crazy time. But just more recently, in the last couple years, last year the cost of coffee went up like it hasn't gone up since we started, and it's come back down a little bit. But it was so volatile. At one point in time we were paying twice what we had been paying the year before, then it came back down a little bit. But things like the cost of transportation, freight has gone crazy. There's like a tax in the, and I mean, right now with the war, that's, all of a sudden the cost of transportation is going sky high. And so that's going to be trickling into our coffee costs. Yeah. Tariffs were put on coffee for a while. And so we're actually still, even though they were removed, maybe back in like October, I think, from coffee. They had been on coffee for about 6 months, and so we're still paying a couple of our coffees that we're still finishing up still have a tariff on them. So we were getting every one of our invoices had a tariff on it for a while that was pretty substantial. I think we were paying like $1,500 a week or something like that in tariffs passed on to us. That's, not to be political, but it was on our invoice and we had to pay a check, and it was because the importers were charging it passing it to us.
Right.
The biggest one was Brazil, which is the 1/3 of the coffee that is imported to the U.S. is from Brazil. And it tends to be the kind of lower cost of specialty coffee. It's just a massive amount of production there. That had a 50% tariff on it. So it was no longer like the lower cost, kind of blender coffee. And so that we had to change, where do we find this coffee? And then everybody else is also looking to get coffee somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so that drives prices up. And also, coffee's so affected by weather. And so it just so happened that last year was the record low crop from Brazil for the second year in a row. So add that to the tariffs, and that kind of just, the market went crazy.
Wow.
Speculators are buying coffees traded as a commodity on the C market. And so hedging and speculating and everything affects it. Boy. So sometimes they never even see the coffee, but it's just traded like a soybean would be, for example. And even specialty coffee is based on the C. It's like a premium above the C market. So it's not directly tied to it, but it'll be like the C price plus $2 kind of thing.
And that's your job. Randy's off gallivanting in Guatemala, and you got to deal with the realities of what you're going to price a cup of coffee at.
Yes, trying to price fairly enough. You know, it can be challenging. Our wholesale market, you know, we sell a lot of coffee to, you know, we sell to Schweitzer and Brundage and like Gaza Ranch, golf resorts, Hills, a lot of restaurants and cafes in the area and everything. And so if our price doubles, we can't just double their price. So our margins were pretty tight for a while. They've gotten a little bit better. We did some small increases in the cafe and our bean pricing and everything. But there's kind of been an inherent in coffee. It's been really priced, I think, based on it being sustainable at the farm level and people staying in farming and everything to be able to make a living. And it's been too low. So it really kind of needed to adjust. And I think people still are like, you know, there's still this myth of a dollar cup of coffee or ought to cost that or something like that. And unless it's absolute crap that is just machine stripped and people are not getting, you know, paid for it.
Cup of coffee. I don't want another one. Hey, I found an event that I can speak of for you. And it sounds good, Jack and Rick. So it's coming up this Friday on the 27th from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And you guys are going to be doing home brewing basics from 4:30 to 6.
Oh, that's in Coeur d'Alene, though.
Oh, it's in Coeur d'Alene. But still, people could run down. Get a handle on how to make your best cup of coffee at home using, of course, Evans Brothers, which would make it the very best. So so it is in Coeur d'Alene, but still
we got a couple others each month we're doing that, and then we're gonna do this first one and then probably replicate it up here in Sandpoint. So be on the lookout. Just follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We post all that kind of stuff.
I'd sign up for that class.
Me too.
Go home with some coffee.
That'd
be totally worth it.
I could use a hand. Most of my coffee is made at home, and it's never anywhere in the neighborhood of as good as you do when I get it at Evans Brothers. How about kind of talking about that, the global coffee business? I'm curious where coffee, it grows near the equator, obviously, so you need a lot of moisture, heat, sun, all that.
Yeah.
Could you grow it in a greenhouse in Sandpoint?
Could I have a coffee bush plant, plant here in my upstairs, in my sunroom?
Yeah. It would be difficult. I think people maybe have been able to grow an individual plant, small one or something like that. But, you know, California has been able to do some indoor, there's some, but not to any real level that's, commercially sold or anything like that. So yeah, it grows, on the equatorial belt, so far from the equator, and that's where it's really warm temperatures in the day, and it needs to cool down at night. Mm-hmm. Not below freezing, though, but ideally there's a 40 degree or so swing in temperature, and I don't know the science that deeply, but it allows the sugars and the cherries to really caramelize or to develop. And so you want high enough, that's where high elevation is generally better, but not so high that it's freezing, If it freezes, it can kill it. So you want a big swing, hot during the day, cold at night. And
an Idaho summer.
And also you don't want direct sun all day long, so they're usually shade grown is better for specialty coffee, those kind of things.
I've read that on a label, shade grown, and I've never even thought of what does that mean and what could that possibly do?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
How cool!
Hey, we're at 8:53.
How did that happen?
Already
late for your next
pickleball
game?
Yeah, I gotta go, guys.
Okay,
I have been so entranced by this conversation. I'm gonna be late for my pickleball. Bye, guys.
Okay,
we'll see you tonight.
Who are you playing?
My friends.
Oh, okay.
Just with my friends.
No specific. Are there stakes on this game?
No stakes this time, Jack.
Okay, fine.
But I must go. And listeners, I hope you'll tune in tonight from 5 to 7, and we'll be talking again.
Julie's back at 5 o'clock, folks. 5 o'clock this evening. I, Jack Peterson, am still here. Rick Evans still here. And away goes Julie. Good luck in your pickleball match. Game. right? Yeah. Okay, there she goes. She's got it. She's
second game of the day.
I know. Yeah, she came in after she. We were on the air at 8:00. She came in about 7:55 from her first game, and when you got the bug, I guess.
It's hardcore.
Mm-hmm. I've never swung a pickleball racket.
Yeah.
Not since like 8th grade when I think we had to learn it. We are almost out of time here, Rick. Any interesting questions that I haven't asked you yet? Anything you want to, I don't know, anything you want to talk about since we have you in the studio and we only get you here every once in a while?
Well, it's been a pleasure. I would just say, if you're in the shop, come say hello mm-hmm. to my brother, myself. We love meeting new people, and I guess I would be remiss if I didn't just thank the community, because we feel like being here in Sandpoint, we're super proud of our town, and we love representing Sandpoint when we go to these national things and everything, and people ask where we're from. We're from Sandpoint, Idaho, or coffee, you know, nerds come into town, and they're not expecting much, and we get to, you know, do things in a good way and show them what's, you know, what we're doing. And so we feel like, you know, in our location by the granary and everything else, it's feels really special, the support we have, the customers we have, and feel really lucky to get to do this in this community.
Yeah. Anything changing at Evans Brothers? Anything new coming up this summer, or anything you're doing differently or expecting to change anytime soon?
Well, we're always trying to get better. a lot of us behind the scenes stuff. So we're always like, we have been growing. We're taking on, you know, people don't see that part of it. We're getting some new accounts in places like Boise and spending a little time down there. So, with growth comes challenges. So we're always really, we're dialing in all our systems and our, you know, back of the house kind of stuff. As far as what people would see, I mean, we have our seasonal drink menu that just comes out every quarter, you know, which we have our talented baristas are always submitting drinks and creating their own sauces and doing, you know, so come in and check that out. We're always bringing new coffees in as well. I know, you know, Randy's out there and Daniel looking for some new coffees for us from Guatemala. So, just kind of, you know, just continuing on trying to get better. We still don't feel like we've got this all figured out. We keep learning.
Does anyone ever figure it out? Is there any coffee shop that you can point to and say, oh, they got it?
You know, as soon as that happens, I think they start to rest on their laurels. And then we visited shops that have this great reputation and have been very underwhelmed. You know, that does happen. So we don't want that to happen to us. So we want to keep raising our bar.
It does, yeah, well, it seems like you do a good job of it.
Thank you.
And even in, you know, challenging times like this.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, we thank you very much for your support for, I believe, 14 years. Since Care of Y started asking people to become underwriters, Evans Brothers signed on and has never signed off. You've been supporters for that long, and it means a lot.
Well, thank you. It's our pleasure.
It's made a great difference to this radio station. And you listeners can also make a difference to this radio station. You don't have to be such a significant member of the community as Evans Brothers is. You can do your part right now by calling 208-265-2992. We're about to sign off and head over into Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long, but the pledge drive continues and will be going on all week long. So stay tuned. Tune in again at 5:00 tonight for the events crew takeover. They'll be doing trivia, several different games. I think they might be bringing in a cowbell. I'm trying to source a cowbell for them, and they'll be coming up with a jingle as well. They've got a lot of music too, so it's not just chatter. They've got some good music lined up, and you can call in and make your requests. My thanks again to Rick Evans for being here.
My pleasure.
Thanks. We'll go out with that Chapel Roan song, which is also called Coffee. And this one is, let's find out if we like it. I'm not sure I'm familiar with this one. You probably are. If a new song comes out called Coffee, somebody, I'm sure, sends you the link right away. Yeah. Okay, this is Chapel Roan. herself in the news of late, but not for this song. This is from The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, and then Bird Note after that.
Can't meet you for dinner at the Italian place. It's where I met your family.